20. And I'd like you to give me the King James Version. Very important. James 1:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. I'd like you to mark the word meekness in your Bible. Receive with meekness. Verse 20, I'm still in verse 20. Receive with meekness. Okay, go to verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Wherefore lay apart, stay in verse 21, please. All filthiness. He says, how do we receive God's word? With meekness. Now, I'd like you to look at the word meekness. Receiving the word of God before it has hold on your heart. Number one, it must be received with meekness. And as I studied this scripture, my understanding began to open. That many of us have not cultivated this attitude of receiving God's word with meekness. What is meekness? Meekness is essentially an attitude or quality of heart whereby a person is willing to accept and submit without resistance. I'm going to say it again. Meekness is essentially an attitude or quality of heart whereby a person is willing to accept and submit without resistance. So when you approach the word of God, you approach it with absolute submission, either in personal study or in Bible study. You approach it with meekness, with gentleness, with quietness. That is how to receive from God's word. A lot of people have built in themselves a defense system against the word of God. They approach the word of God trying to put on God's word their ideology, their own mind. The scripture has a mind. Say that after me. The scripture has a mind. That's why the Bible says, for we have the mind of Christ. It is called the mind of the scripture. So our understanding must be enlightened as we approach God's word with meekness. Meekness is actually a virtue that is required to receive from the word of God. So to receive from God, you must be submissive. You must be quiet and gentle to receive from the word of God. You have an attitude that wants to learn. Many people don't have a learning attitude. Many people have an attitude of contending with the world. They have an attitude of trying to defend their habits, defend their personal indulgence against God's word. And so it becomes difficult for them. For many years, you see such people receiving and receiving, but it's not having impact in their life because of how they are receiving. I pray for everyone listening to me today
that the Lord will grant you meekness in the name of Jesus. So you must have that attitude of opening up yourself for correction, for reproof, for instruction. And that can only happen through learning. Through meekness. Amen. So meekness is key to receiving from God. Meekness. Submission. A heart whereby a person is willing to accept and submit without resistance. I don't know if you have come across scriptures. As the Lord opened your understanding, you come across scriptures, you are trying to struggle and accept that reality. But the only way it can have impact in you is not by writing it in your jotter, is accepting it in your heart. And it's the reason we have a lot of trouble and all kind of teachers who have an upsurge of heretic teachers in the body of Christ today, who have approached the Word of God with a wrong mindset, and they want to be teachers of what they don't know. It's a big challenge today. Praise God. So, a meek attitude towards the Word of God allows the Word of God to take hold of your heart, thereby getting rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside. The Word of God changes man. Your life is altered. Your character is molded as you expose yourself to the revelation of God's Word. You just see changes happening with you. But it starts with giving yourself submissively. Vowing that. There was a day I was studying and I told myself, I will obey this word to the letter. Every word here, except if I have not found or understand it, I vow I was going to obey God's word. As far as the Lord brings my understanding to it. I'd like you to help me. Please let me give my wife a microphone. I'd like her to help me read in the TLB version. The Lord is going to be blessing our hearts strongly this morning. And I want you to get set. Yeah. The Lord opened my eyes to a few things in these scriptures. And I trust Him that He will pour in us a bigger understanding. If you are saying a little, maybe the loudest. And so I want you to help me with the TLB. We are going to be looking at that scripture from verse 21.
So get rid of all that is wrong in your life. Get rid
of all that is wrong in your life. Yes.
Both inside and outside.
Both inside, the attitude of the mind and the ones you are exhibiting that people are seeing. Everything that is wrong, get rid. How? Move on.
And humbly be glad.
Humbly, that word means with meekness. It's the same word for humble. To submit yourself. Yes.
Be glad for the wonderful message we have received.
For the wonderful message. How do you get rid of what is wrong in your life? Both inside and outside. When you, by meekness and submit yourself to the word, meekness. So it enables you. Now go on, there's a place I want you to see there.
For it is able to save our souls.
Now he said that word is able. Let me hold your Bible. Hold your Bible. Hold your Bible and lift it up. And say after me, the word of God is able to save my soul. Now, that word save is not the saving of salvation. It's the one Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's able to transform you. It's able to save you to the uttermost. Go on. How is it able to save you? How?
As it takes hold of our hearts.
As the word takes hold of our... This is the reason... In this series, we taught meditation. Your soul is enabled, is empowered, your mind and your spirit, when the word takes hold in your heart. It's not
every study, especially when you are not consistent, the word of God can't take hold in your heart. You remember when we taught about the parable of the sower? How the sower sowed and some hearts were likened to a rock. And the Bible is saying production and fruitfulness happen when the word takes hold, when it lays on your heart, when for days the word of God keep coming, a particular word stays on your heart, and it just stays there until it sinks into your spirit and it becomes your character. The word takes hold on your heart. I pray for this, for everyone listening to me, that your heart will be receptive for the word.
Amen.
Come on, if you are the one I'm praying for, let your amen be the loudest.
Amen.
A receptive heart. A heart that easily takes of the word. There are certain scriptures that are burning my heart right now. It's a sweet thing when the Holy Spirit burns a scripture in your heart. This is the record that God has given us eternal life. And the life is in His Son. And whosoever has the Son has the life. That scripture is born in my heart. When Father says, whosoever does not have the Son does not have life. He says, this is the reason I have written unto you, that you may know that you have life because you have the Son. And say, this is the guarantee that your prayers are answered. It is an indictment on God's word to say, God didn't answer my prayer. You have indicted God. The scripture is saying, as far as eternal life is in you, it is a guarantee that when you pray, your prayer is answered. So in the new creation, there's nothing like unanswered prayers. And listen to me. Don't ever think our prayers are like the prayer of others. Only those who have eternal life have a guarantee. This is the confidence that a man who has eternal life, God have his heart by his ears. I mean, have his ears. Yeah, have the heart of God by the heart of that person. As you meditate, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or think. Why? Eternal life dwells in you. Can you praise God for eternal life? That is our confidence. And so when you pray now, you pray and thank God and say, God, I thank you. Why? Are you sure you have eternal life? If you have eternal life, then you have your prayer answered. I'm going to be taking a teaching. I don't know. I'm working on it. Guarantee for prayer answered. We are going to do a teaching. We are going to be looking at what guarantees. Even though you don't have physical evidences, you just pray and move on. Because there's a guarantee. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he didn't check to see. It was the disciples that were going to check if something has happened. May no man eat from you again. And he went. There was a guarantee. So when we pray for a blind person, we don't try to check. You just pray and move, because eternal life is bigger than the evidence. Let me not start preaching it now. Don't worry. Praise God. Tell anybody, say something is cooking. Something is cooking. Something is cooking. Come on. Holy Ghost is cooking something for us. Amen. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, all that is wrong, by humbly accept and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your soul. When it takes hold of your heart, you know you have been changed. You know something is just changing in you. You begin to have what I called possessing revelation. You make it so personal that it becomes your own. You own it. It becomes there's this this word I'm looking for. It becomes personal to you. Customized. You take hold of the word and you begin to see yourself in it. You hold it so strong and nothing takes it away from you. That's how people come into the revelation of prosperity. They own that revelation. They own it even though they didn't have money in their account. They own it to a point that resources started flowing towards what they have owned. They possess it. They held on to it. I cannot suffer. It's a revelation. When it's not just saying it, when it takes hold of your heart, the revelation turns into a flesh and a reality to you. That it begins to call forth the resources responsible for the reality that is needed in your life. Praise God. I'm excited this morning. Now, let's go on. Go on, please.
And remember.
Remember.
It is a message to obey.
It is a message to obey. The word is a message to obey. Go on.
Not just to listen to.
Not just to listen to.
So don't fool yourselves.
Don't fool. Now, what's the Bible saying? You are a fool when you come to a church. You sit during teaching. You are a fool when you come to Bible study. You take all the notes, put them in your jotter, and go looking away from all you have seen. The King James Version says, he that looks to the law of liberty as in a mirror, and he forgets the manner of man he is, because after he looks, the Bible says, forgetting the manner of man, because he looked away, he walked away from the world. I pray for someone this morning that you'll be wise unto the word of God. Amen. Come on, if you are seeing me, let me be the loudest. He looked away. And that's why you see somebody go to Bible school, attend conferences, and you can't see the reflection in his life. Bible says you have been a fool. I like you to give me the King James Version here. If now look at it, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Straight away, forget what manner of man he was. Verse 20. Now go back to verse 23. Go back to verse 23. Let me show you something. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24 now. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And straightforward, after he beholdeth himself, he went away. Went away means he didn't stay. He's supposed to stay by the word. He's not supposed to leave the place. Now, just like when you are passing by a car, or after, you know, at home, you just look at your mirror, make sure your makeup is intact. Now, because you didn't stay by your mirror all through the day, and you want to go out. So, by the time you come to church, you see somebody's car parked, you just try to check, because you have forgotten what you were looking at. But if you are constantly standing by the mirror, you won't forget it. Hallelujah. He beholded himself, and goeth his way, and straight away forget what manner of man he was, because he looked off the word. Let me tap your neighbor, say, look consistently into the word. Yeah. The reason many of us just slip away, behave like who we are not, is because you are constantly looking away. You look in once in a week and you expect to have a correct life. Looking into the mirror of the word just once. You look in the morning, look at night, look every time. And as you look, you don't see yourself in this kind of mirror. You see Christ. It's a mirror that when you stand, you don't see you. You see him. The natural mirror reveals you. The supernatural one reveals him. And as we behold him, as in a glass, we are changed.
you become what you see. You are changed. I am changing. Can you say that? Own it. Say, I am changing. Possess it. Say, I am changing. In the kingdom, how do we possess? We possess by confessing that we possess. As we look consistently, listen to me, I dare you to stay by the word. I dare you to have a retreat of the word. I was teaching yesterday. I said, I want to urge you to start taking word retreats. We love prayer retreats, but there's a place of word retreat. You don't go there to pray. 3 days you are locked in with the word. You are changed. Change. That's where transformation and growth and maturity happens. In the kingdom, gifts are given. But character and the fruit of the Spirit are grown as we behold. We are transformed. Praise God. Are you blessed this morning? He beholded himself and goeth his way. Don't go. Don't go away from the word. I want to beg you. Many of us run from the word when there's crisis. You go to the word. And where do you go? You go to some. It's not like you are looking for a revelation. You are looking for something to address the situation. And when it is gone, you still go away. And when the devil chases you again, you run back. But you know, you can stay by the word. Clothed in the word. Said, I found thy word. And I ate it. I chew it. There's a place of chewing. Where the word go and take hold inside of you. Like a man chews food, as a man eats food, and it becomes a nutrient in him, giving him vitality. You can chew God's word. I want to steer your heart to develop a pineum. To put a premium and value on God's word. You feel cheated after 24 hours if you don't look. You feel cheated. How many of you used to feel like that? I feel I've been robbed. In 24 hours you don't look into the law of liberty. You feel robbed. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible speaking, give me James chapter 1 and verse 18. Give me verse 18 of the scripture. Of his will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation. We came into the new creation reality by the word. We are sustained by the word. There's the sustenance of the new creation reality that we have received. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. When a man is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things. Now, the all things that become new is sustained by how you got it. We came in by the word. The Bible says we have been born by the incorruptible seed of the word. How did you get born again? The incorruptible seed of the word. And that is how we are sustained. If a believer stay away from the word of God, you begin to see the enemy perching and laying eggs around. He will be acting. You start having nonsensical dreams. The devil is laying something. When you stay, the radiation of the word of God destroys all those things. Let me tap you on the bus and stay by the word. I want to urge you to stay by the word. It's the word that makes men. Yeah. Prophecy is good. The gift of the Spirit is good. But you cannot do well without God's word. I can assure you that. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. You still have limitations on your life. You are not given to the word. Amen. So, let's move on. the essence of the word of God is to make you like Christ. To make a Christ-like character out of you, that you may bear the fruit of the Spirit. The reason believers listen and don't obey, they look and walk away. Let me read verse 23 in the TLB. What does it mean to walk away after looking to make the word of God an option? You are inconsistent. You are casual with the word. And that is the attitude of many Christians, even some ministers. That's the attitude. They become serious when they are on roster or they have an invitation to preach. You see them looking for concordance, looking for Greek, calling someone. Where is that place where the Bible says, thou art? Not have. Hallelujah.
For if a person just listens and doesn't obey,
if he listens and does not obey,
he is like a man looking at his face in a mirror.
The reason he's not obeying is because of how he is looking. The reason he's not obeying is because of how he is looking at the world. Go on.
As soon as he walks away
from the world, the walking away is not just he's walking on the street. He walks away from the world. Yes.
He can't see himself anymore.
He can't see himself anymore.
Or remember what he looks like.
What he looks like in the mirror of the world. Yes, go on.
But if anyone keeps looking steadily.
Hey. If anyone consistently keeps looking. In the morning, the first look you do is the look into the world, not Facebook. Even in the midnight, people look Facebook. Let me check my friends. They must have said something on my picture. Look at the word that really gives you the complete picture. This is where the true you is defined. Facebook does not define you. All those posts, you're angry, somebody didn't like your picture. Listen to me. Some people have developed unnecessary enemies because they were doing what was not necessary. Chasing mundane things. You do midnight call. You do chat. You do all of those things. You keep walking away. At times God wake you at midnight so that you can look into the world. Now listen to me. It's good that you start your day with the word. There's this how, when you wake up very early in the morning, 3:30, 4, 5, the first thing, because your heart is not clouded yet. Your heart is cool, no noise. You are not thinking of anything. The first thing you should plant is the word. It's like a software. Plant the word. Start your day with the word. And you have phone, as you go to the office, you have a few minutes out of work, look into the world. Keep reminding yourself of whom you are and who you look like in Christ. Please read on.
But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men.
If anyone, now listen to me, this scripture is telling us that revelation is respecter of no man. Either you are a pastor or not, it takes only those who look. It is looking into the world. See, you know, some people, God give them revelation because they looked. Even Peter said, that ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, because he got it by reading. I departed to Arabia. God, didn't listen to me. Paul didn't just come and start speaking revelation. He studied. Hallelujah. Don't be casual with God's word. Don't be casual. Don't be casual. You pick it anytime. You say, today I don't just feel like. Is there a day you don't feel like eating? So someone tell you 3 days, I don't feel like eating. Even though you don't feel like, you keep eating so that you can live. You don't eat because you feel like you eat to survive, to live, to be strong. There are times you don't feel like eating, but you have to eat. So it doesn't matter how you are feeling towards the world. You just go into it. Your feeling will change. After 1 hour, you will not know when you say, I see. You start like that. The next day, yeah! Initially, when you want to approach it, you don't feel like. But when you stay consistently, the revelation will change the feeling. By the time you are done, your heart's welled up in the revelation of God's word. You start thanking God. There are days I thank God for doing some studies. I say, God, if I didn't do this study, thank you that I did these studies. Do I have a witness here? There are days that look at what I am seeing. What of if I didn't do this study today? And there's something about revelation. It's timely and periodic. If you miss it, maybe I don't know how God will bring it to you again. It might not come cheaper like you got it again. Because God doesn't waste resources. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Look at what Paul prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The spirit of wisdom is the spirit that helps you see into the world. Hallelujah. Come on, I said hallelujah. Come on, move on. Move on.
Yeah. He will not only remember it.
He will not only remember because he is consistent. Tap your neighbor, say we are talking consistency. Be consistent with the word. Don't hold the Bible because you want to prophesy. Ever move Billy. Move first or tell it. Hallelujah. I remember many years ago I was somebody was in trance and I wanted to interpret for the person. So I started interpretation. Somebody was now doing like, you didn't hold the Bible. What is the essence of the Bible you hold in your hand but it's not in your heart? Hallelujah. I would rather have it in your heart than having you hold it in when you are in trance. I will prefer you have it in your heart. Don't hold it in your hand. Hallelujah. Move on.
But he will do what it says.
He will do. The essence of all our study, Bible study, word conferences, Sunday teachings is to come to the place of doing. What's the essence of knowing when there's no doing? Is that you will graduate to a point where all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, is taken away by doing the word. Say, doing the word. That's the essence. After a whole year of series of teaching, you have become a doer. We look at your life, you don't look like last year. Then yes, there's a doing happening here. There's a doing happening in this life. As the essence. Go on.
And God will greatly bless him in everything he does.
Hey! There is a blessing in the Christian faith that is not generic. I'm going to say that again. There is a blessing in the Christian faith that is not like a general, a blessing that comes to you at born again or at receiving Christ. There are blessings that come by diligent study. That's the blessing he's talking about there. It's this kind of blessing only comes to believers who give diligence in study. I love what Paul says. He said, count them of double honor. Your ministers, your elders, your pastors, especially they that labor in the world. A particular version says, pay them well. Diligence in the world attracts a certain blessing that is not generic. It's not a general blessing like the blessing of salvation. It's not the blessing of Ephesians 1 verse 3. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heaven. Mm-mm. And I'm going to show you what that blessing is. It is immaterial. It's a blessing that when you possess, it can produce the material. So, you are robbing yourself, sir, ma, of certain kinds of blessings. That's why we are not at the same level in certain graces and operation, even though we all came into Christ the same way, but we are not at the same level because of certain blessings accrued to diligence in the world. Certain blessings. I knew when you got born again. I knew when you were born. I've had elders who told me that. Say, no. And I love what Eliu said. He said, I have come to understand that wisdom does not come by age. It doesn't come by age. Wisdom comes by diligence in the word. Not how long, not how far, but how well. It's not by staying in church for long. How much diligence do you give to the word? That's how wisdom comes. And so we're going to be looking at what is this blessing? What is this blessing that some of us have not started enjoying? Holy Spirit, thank you. Say the blessing. Come on, say it like you want to. Say the blessing. These are not the kinds of blessings you get in prayer meetings. There are blessings you don't pray to receive. It is diligence that attracts them. Everything does not answer to prayers. Certain things answer to dedication to God's word. The amount of time you expose yourself to God's word. There are certain things that comes to you. Certain kind of blessing. So when I say you will receive it, if you don't read, how do you receive? When I say receive it, I receive. Receive it, I receive. All will you keep receiving will not be made manifest because you didn't do the word. Hallelujah. You see, he that consistently look, give me in the King James Version, verse 25. Holy Spirit, thank you. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. So, doing the word is a work. This man shall be blessed in his day. So, let's look. What's the blessing? Look at the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, from verse 2. I want it in the TLB. We are going to be taking a long read of this scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1 rather, from verse 2. 2 Peter 1 from verse 2. Help me read.
Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace?
That word kindness means grace. Do you want more and more of God's grace? It means there is a measure of grace. We are in different levels of our operation in the kingdom by the amount of grace we are exposed to. Yeah. There are certain men in the kingdom, they are more than 1,000 people. One man. Yes. When they sang the song of Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000. They were describing the grace upon them. Yeah. When you see the amount and the capacity of what a man is pulling in the kingdom, there is a grace for it. And grace is not just the grace for salvation. Grace means capacity for operation. Let me tell you the meaning of grace. Grace is God's influence upon a man. There's a level of influence that will come upon your life. It doesn't matter your age. You begin to do things that your fathers didn't do in the kingdom. It's a supernatural condition of one governed by the power of divine abilities. The operation of supernatural influence at different capacities. So when you say, God, give me grace, give me grace. Listen, first study the word of God. Give me grace to preach. Give me grace to heal. Give me grace to do this. Give me grace to do that. There are certain graces that come by diligence in the world. Amen. Go on.
Then learn to know him better and better.
You want to know him better and better. Yeah.
For as you know.
Start again.
Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace?
Yes.
Then learn to know him better and better.
He said, the way to having peace, tranquility, stability in your Christian life, the way to attract certain level of influence, it is learning how to know God more and more. No one can challenge that truth in the Bible. That's the way, sir. Learning to know God more and more is the way to peace. And I'm going to show you a few things because of our time. That word grace there, in the Greek, in that scripture, means charis, which I've just defined to you, God's holy influence upon a man. When you look at some people do some things, you say, no. This is grace. This is grace. This is not normal. Even those who are doing it don't know how it's happening to them. When you operate some levels in your life, you're like, how is this happening? Now, the word peace there means, in the Greek, is irene. E-I-R-E-N-E. Which means rest. If you want to have grace and rest, know God more and more. How? He said, the peace there means rest, quietness, security, safety, prosperity. The tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, nothing from the world. Peace in your heart. That was what Jesus had when they were in the storm. They woke him up, Master, careth not that we die. The reaction of an average man should be, yes, soon. Have you been in that situation before? You have not finished a particular psalm. You have misquoted it with Yoruba adage. Psalm ni obototi lo we Yoruba mo, because you are confused. The Bible says when Jesus woke up, he said, peace be still. He got something inside. And listen to me, the devil wants you trouble in the midst of storm. But one of the ways to show the devil you got God, you have God inside of you, is staying calm. I don't know what the storm it is that is around your life now. The word of God is the solution that brings peace in your heart. There's no counseling from a psychology or a psychologist that can bring peace like the word of God. How many of you agree with me that the word of God gives peace? Many of you are troubled because you have not spent enough time. I can tell you the reason for your worries, the reason for your anxiety, the reason for the trouble in your heart. You have not spent enough time. I'm telling you the truth, tested and trusted. You can't stay in the world and be part of them. You can't consistently looking into this world and be troubled, no matter what the circumstances they look like. That's why you see somebody who is rich, he died of hypertension because his business crumbled. He doesn't have the word. He's still rich. But because investment crash, they say, I bought pleasure. No peace in the heart. There's no peace. I was reading my Andrew Womack, and Andrew Womack was sharing something interesting. Andrew Womack said he bought a Rolls Royce, very beautiful car. And he wanted to show his friend, I look at the car the Lord gave to me. And as he was driving, he crashed the car. And the car was written off. And, you know, it was his friend that crashed the car, because he didn't know how to drive it well. And the friend was expecting him to say, we see. Now, he was expecting the normal reaction. And Aruam said, no, don't worry. He was not asking him, say, why? Say, I expect that you should be angry with me. He said, why would I be angry? He said, what is inside is more than what you are seeing outside. Hallelujah. Praise God. Peace. Now I want you to do a read. Just go further. Read further.
For as you know him better,
he
will give you through his great power.
He will give you through his great power
everything you need for living a truly good life.
Everything as you know him. As you know him, not as you pray. Or not just as you pray, as you know him. He will give you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Go on.
He even shares his own glory.
He shares his own glory.
And his own goodness with us.
Come on, come on.
And by that same mighty power,
yes,
he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised.
Come on.
For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us,
mm-hmm,
and to give us his own character.
Come on.
But to obtain this gift,
yes,
you need more than faith.
To obtain this gift, you need more than being born again. What are you saying there? It is more than being born again. To operate at this level is more than being born again. That's what that word faith there is talking about, the born again spirit. Go on.
You must also work hard to be good.
Number one, you will work hard. Say work hard.
Work hard.
To be good at what?
And even that is not enough.
It's not enough.
For then you must learn to know God better.
You must learn to know God better.
And discover what he wants you to do.
Come on.
Next. Learn to put aside your own desires.
Yes.
So that you will become patient and godly.
Come on.
Gladly letting God have his way with you.
Yes.
This will make possible,
yes,
the next step. Which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them.
Yes.
And finally,
come on,
you will grow to love them deeply.
Come on.
The more you go in this way,
yes,
the more you will grow strong,
yes,
spiritually, and become fruitful.
Come on.
And useful to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Go on.
But yes, anyone who fails to go outside this
addition, What will happen?
To faith is blind indeed.
He is blind. You can see the reason people post rubbish on Facebook. They are blind. They have faith. They are born again, but they are blind.
Or at least very short-sighted.
Yes.
Or at least.
Read, come on.
Or at least very short-sighted.
Yes.
And has forgotten that God delivered him from the old life of sin.
Yes.
So that now he can live a strong, good life
for
the Lord. So, dear brothers,
yes,
work out to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen.
Mm.
And then you will never stumble or fall away.
Rise up to your feet. It's possible never to fall away. Go and read that in the TLB, you understand. Father, we thank you. Receive praise in Jesus' name.